More compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Cheryl Fritz is now live in Lansing on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Welcome to Fritz and Friends.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here, Mark Bruce Price producing. And still on the phone with us is Gary Moore, who is an acclaimed author. We talked with him just a moment ago about Playing with the Enemy. We're now going to talk about a book with him and some updates called Hey Buddy, In Pursuit of Buddy Holly, My New Buddy John, and My Lost Decade of Music. Welcome back, Gary. Thanks for staying with us.
Oh, I'm delighted. Thank you.
Now, let's give folks a little bit of a background on Hey Buddy, on that story.
Well, Hey Buddy is a story about my pursuit to learn more about the late, great Buddy Holly. I'm 56 years old. Buddy Holly died when I was 4 years old, but I really knew nothing about him. Knew nothing about his life, knew nothing about his music. I couldn't name any of the songs he played. I wasn't even sure he was dead. Until one night, I was my mother-in-law, who was apparently much hipper than I am. She's 77 years old, and the only thing she wanted for her birthday was to go see a reenactment of the Winter Dance Party. Well, Cheryl, I thought the Winter Dance Party would be either, you know, waltzing or big band jazz, or, you know, when I found out my mother-in-law was a rock and roller and was crazy about Buddy Holly, I shocked. But we went to the concert, and it was great. They had the Big Bopper and Richie Valens, all these people who were doing incredible impersonations. But once it was all over, I still wasn't sold until the very last song of the evening, John Mueller, the man who was playing the role of Buddy, sang a song that he'd written in tribute to Buddy Holly called Hey Buddy. And it's one of the most beautiful pieces of music I've ever heard. It just seized my heart, stimulated my imagination, and set me on the journey to learn more about Buddy Holly and interview people who knew him. And so that is the story.
Well, and the story is fascinating. And what you uncovered during writing the story, the circumstances of the plane crash surrounding Buddy Holly's death,
right,
piqued your interest in a whole different way.
Well, I'm a pilot, and I used to own an air charter service. So I was in the air charter business for years. And, you know, I wasn't writing a book about the crash, and I thought that everything had been written, you know, about it that was available. But I tried calling the people who owned the charter service, who are still living in Mason City, Iowa, the Dwyers. I got a hold of Barb Dwyer, who proceeded to tell me she wouldn't talk to me, but she talked to me for about 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And the more she would talk, the more she would say. And finally, at the very end, she was telling me that they still own the wreckage, they have it hidden, and the wreckage proves that they're not at fault for the crash. The proof is in the wreckage. They have new information about why it crashed. It's not what everybody thinks. And I found out from talking to people who know the Dwyers say that the pilot had become incapacitated, and the claim is that somebody in the plane had done something to the pilot to cause it to crash. But they say that the proof is in the wreckage. So we have actually started a national call. We are demanding that they release the wreckage to Dick Rodriguez and myself, Dick is a lead investigator that has just retired from the National Transportation Safety Board. He's been lead investigator in almost every major U.S. aviation accident in the past 20 years. And after examining the NTSB has said if Dick says that there's new information, after examining the wreckage, they'll reopen the investigation. But the Dwyers are refusing to give us access to the plane. And so we're asking people who would like to see this reopened to go to my website, which is Gary W. Moore, GaryWMoore.com, no spaces. And there's a petition that you can sign there. And let us know how you feel about it. And we're just working very, very hard. I was on the phone yesterday with Maria Elena Holly, Buddy Holly's widow, who's still alive and well and doing great, lives in Dallas, Texas. And she openly wept yesterday, you know, when we were talking, and you know, just how she's tired of all this controversy. She is demanding that the Dwyers release this record so the truth can finally be told.
And when you had the time to speak with Mrs. Dwyer, is that correct?
Yeah.
Did she say why they wouldn't release it? If she said it proves that they were not responsible?
Well, she said it's because her husband's writing a book. But then I found out he's been writing this book since 1999.
Okay.
And you know, they're in the twilight of the years, and I'm hoping that he'll hurry. But that sounded disrespectful.
I understand that. I know you. I think well enough to understand that.
Yeah. So you know, they they're holding this plane. Well, in a 1987 interview with Flying Magazine, Jerry Dwyer said the reason he was holding the plane is he was going to cut it up and sell it as keychains, which couldn't be more disrespectful to the family and the lives of the men who died in that crash. So we're hoping we can stop him from doing that. And all we want to see the wreckage, have a crash investigator look at it, determine if there's anything new, and if there is, the NTSB will reopen the investigation.
Is there something, and I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to call in the lawyers, is there something you can do legally through any of this to get the release of the plane?
Now, I'm told no, because the Dwyers legally purchased the plane as salvage back from the insurance company. And so it is their property. The CAB, which is the predecessor to the NTSB, the Civil Aeronautics Board, they released the plane back to be scrapped, saying that they had done their investigation and it was final. So there's really nothing we can do, and it's a shame. And we, the Dwyers, I'm sure they're fine people. We don't want to cause them any discomfort in their latter years. That's not what we're trying to do. It is the Dwyers that are making the claim that something happened, that the pilot was incapacitated, that there's proof in the wreckage. And if you're going to make that claim, especially when you still have living family members of the deceased, you know, then you better be able to prove that claim, or at least allow the wreckage to be examined by experts to determine whether there's any validity to that claim.
Well, and that crash did take place in 1959 on
right.
February 3rd. And as you said, there are survivors around. Getting an answer would certainly be good for everybody's soul.
Buddy's brother Travis still alive. He's got nephews and nieces running all over Lubbock, Texas. Buddy's widow still alive. Peggy Sue Guerin, the
infamous.
Buddy's closest friend. He wrote the song about Peggy Sue. I was on a radio program with her just a few weeks ago, and again, she was demanding to release this wreckage. I mean, this is her closest, dearest friend from grade school on. I mean, nobody that I know of is wanting to dig up old ghosts. All that we want is, if the Dwyer is going to make this claim that something happened other than what the CAB report says, then it's time to show us.
Sure. I would agree. I'm of the ilk that I always want the answer. I want the answer. And if there are questions out there unknown, and we have the availability of the wreckage to take a look at this point, it seems like it would be a real good idea for everybody to be able to put it to rest.
Yeah, I had a reporter this morning ask me why I was stirring all this up. And I said, I'm not stirring it up. The Dwyers are stirring it up. I'm trying to put it to rest.
Yeah, it does seem it. And you've gotten some assistance from several interviews you've done, radio and so forth. A syndicated show host, Mancow, is jumped on the bandwagon with you as well.
Oh, Mancow, of course, he's a wild man anyway, but he's, he's all over this. And he's, you know, he feels the same way that, let's let this all rest. But if you're going to make these claims, mm-hmm. Let's air it out and find out what happened.
Absolutely. Well, I'm.
And your show, which is much more important than his, I hope that you'll make the same claim and help us get this wreckage released.
Well, I'll go right now and say I'd love to see this happen. I mean,
excellent.
There's a story here and there's a mystery, and if it can be solved, I think we have the obligation to try to solve it.
Oh, absolutely. And Cheryl, Buddy Holly is bigger today than he's ever been.
Isn't that something?
I mean, these kids in their teens and 20s are walking around with Buddy Holly on their iPad. I was speaking at a high school about playing with the enemy in Freeport, Illinois, and this 14-year-old kid has this necklace of a Fender Strat guitar, and hanging next to it are the words Buddy. And I just looked at him. I said, "Do you know what that is?" And he goes, "Man, that's Buddy Holly." 14 years old. He said he created rock and roll.
That does your heart good.
Oh, and the kids know it, and so, Buddy's bigger than ever before. Let's let him rest in peace. Let's put an end to all this. Let's find out what happened and move forward. And people who want to join us, again, go to GaryWMoore.com. They can learn more about the book, Hey Buddy, there, and it's available nationwide, so I hope people will take a look.
Well, Gary, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us. I love talking with you, and
I
look forward...
Welcome back every day.
I'll have you on as a regular. I'm not
there
kidding.
There we go. I'll do it. Just call me.
I love it. Thank you, Gary, very much.
Thanks,
and I look forward to talking with you as things progress.
All righty. Thank you
so much. Gary Moore, author of Playing with the Enemy and Hey Buddy. So enjoy him. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this.